Welcome, and thank you for joining us for today's IBM webcast. Today's webcast will include a question and answer session. If you have questions regarding any of the information being covered in today's webcast, you may submit questions by entering them in the white text box located in the lower left-hand corner. Simply enter your question and click Submit Question. If you would like a copy of today's presentation, it is available to download by clicking on the Download Slides button located underneath the slide window. In this webcast, we'll discuss optimizing the performance of CICS systems and applications. You'll learn how it not only releases capacity to support new or growing workloads, but also helps to improve response times and increase customer satisfaction. Our speakers for today's webcast are Ted Caffarelli, CICS Tools Product Line Manager, Mike E. Goodman, Tivoli Z Product Manager, Joseph Gailey, Client Technical Specialist, CICS Tools, and Doug Stout, Senior IT Specialist, PD Tools. At this time, I'd like to turn the program over to our first speaker, Ted Caffarelli.
So at this point, let's move on to the next chart. This is just a list of the copyright material. So let's move on to the next chart. Next chart gets through the agenda that the team here today would like to cover with you, and we're going to first start out with a scenario introduction that we'll use as an example of how we can collect different kinds of performance information. We'll get into some product highlights on how different performance tools can help you in your environment resolve and pinpoint performance issues. And then we'll have a actual scenario demonstration of the capabilities of these tools so that you can see them firsthand. And then what we'll end up doing is we'll have a summary, and then we'll open it up for Q&A. There's also material that is in this deck that we won't be covering today that may be of value as well that we have as reference material. And that's where you can find more additional information, white papers, et cetera. If we move on to the next chart, this GenApp is what we refer to as a insurance application that we wrote for CICS Transaction Server. And really what it allows us to do in-house is to do our own testing with new releases of CICS. We've made this GenApp application available to you for download, and you can see the link on this chart. And at the same time, we have a red paper that was written that can also help you go through the different scenarios on how different tools and products can help you solve some of the, whether it's performance issues or specific IT needs that you have in your business. If we move on to the next chart, what I'd like to do is take you through a fictitious company, but I believe the set of business drivers are very realistic. We're calling it the ABC Insurance Company, but in reality, this is an insurance company that is growing. So growth is a very common business need that we see with our customers. And at the same time, this is a customer who is trying to be able to extend their reach by being able to move some of their applications out to the web and have the ability, such as smartphones, to be able to access the applications. So really what this company is trying to do is not only grow, but to be able to reach more customers in terms of reaching out to them and acquiring new customers. So the next on here is there is a demand to have near continuous online availability, which just means there's going to be a demand to be able to run these applications 24/7, and the associated performance implications of what happens when that occurs. And at the same time, the management team is expecting to have fast and consistent response times, because when the users are coming into the system, they want to find a way to make sure that they're happy with the response time that they're receiving and the actual interface into these applications. So those are the common kinds of business drivers that we feel are common to not only this fictitious example, but real life, what occurs in many of the customer environments in your environments today. At the same time, what we hear from the IT side of the house is, you know, they're faced with challenges with declining Z skills, and they're just having challenges trying to maintain their current systems. And when you put the pressures on of the different business drivers that I covered in the prior chart, it really adds additional stress on IT being able to perform these functions. And at the same time, there is a need to be able to exploit new capabilities, new performance options, but there's because of the limitations on resource, they may not be able to do that. And they may also uncover that in looking at their performance analysis type of environment that they have today, that there are issues today that are causing some types of disruptions or elongated response times that need to be resolved. And so the additional pressure is, are the current processes, the tools, the middleware, are they at the sufficient level to be able to assist in addressing these types of issues on the IT side of the house? So we move on to the next chart. What we'd like to be able to do is share with you three outstanding performance tools that IBM offers to assist in CICS performance. And they can be used independently or they can be used in combination to be able to offer either very in-depth or very system-wide performance analysis. The first one on here is the OmegaMon XE for CICS, and there is a new version of this offering that has been announced. And this is a very rich tool that gives performance analysis in real time for your analysis and deep dive into performance. At the same time, what it allows you to do is to solve problems not only within CICS, but those that are more of a system-wide across ZOS. This specific tool is for CICS. And then the next tool on here is another way to be able to get a deeper dive within the CICS performance issues, what we call the IBM Performance Analyzer. And what this allows us to do is be able to do day-to-day CICS tuning, very detailed implementations of new capabilities in CICS, one of them being thread-safe analysis, and we're able to give information such as service-level reporting, accounting, chargeback information, and also assist in problem determination of where a problem is and what could be the possible cause of it. And so this is a tool that helps users be able to take a snapshot and be able to compare their changes that they've made and make sure that they're able to see whether they got the net type of performance change they were expecting. And then the last tool on this list is what we call the Application Performance Analyzer. And this is another tool that can help us isolate application performance areas. But what is unique about this tool is you can even go down to source code analysis. So you'll be able to provide a tool to developers that can they, before they even deploy a product to production or system test, they would be able to try to uncover performance issues before it ever leaves their desk. And so we have a capability across these three tools, whether working together or independently, to be able to bring a very robust set of tooling technology to address performance issues. What I'd like to do now is move on to another chart and give an example, a scenario of how the tools can help, and you'll start to see some of the interfaces that we have with the tools as well, and how a user can go and traverse through a performance issue. So on the next chart, what we have here is basically a situation where someone calls a help desk and is complaining about certain response times not being what they would like it to be. This is a situation where response time is acceptable sometimes, and then other times it just jumps very high. So in this case, this one transaction we're looking at has a very high transaction time being consumed, and it's not unacceptable, and it's higher than the service level agreements. So we're able to very quickly use a graphical interface to be able to drill down and see, yes, indeed, that is what's happening. The next step is that all of a sudden I want to get a deeper dive into that transaction. I want to be able to drill down. I want to see what is going on internally with that application. So what I'm able to do now is, and demonstrated on this screen, I'm able to be able to determine that I've got an application that is telling me that something, the way it is coded, is not working properly. It does not seem to be operating correctly. And so I'm able to take a deeper dive and to be able to see this, because what I may need to be doing here is reporting back to my development team that somehow something is that had worked properly before or inconsistently operating today, they will need to take a look at this and change it. But at the same time, I want to be able to pass enough information over to them so that they're able to make the correct change the first time. So if we move on to the next chart, we actually get into something where we're starting to see that this application has some unique characteristics, and start to answer why this application sometimes runs extremely well and sometimes it does not. We end up finding out that this ability to how many concurrent transactions I can run at the same time with this T-class parameter, I'm getting statistics that I've got more requests than I'm allowing to be able to run. And of course, when I exceed the threshold, that user who's ever making that last request is going to be the one receiving the slow response time. So I'm very quickly been able through these performance information that I've demonstrated is that I can indeed validate I had a performance problem. I can get details about the performance problem. And then in this case, I'm finding out what could potentially be the root cause of that performance problem. The next chart just says that if I make a change, I want to be able to take a before and after snapshot and be able to validate that, that the change indeed helped. So what this represents on this chart is that I'm able to measure and take a snapshot of what kind of performance that confirms what the end user saw, and then I'm able to go back and with the changes made to see that I have indeed been able to improve the response time of this transaction. So I feel comfortable now that I can check the box and say we were able to resolve this performance problem from before and after. The next chart, one of the things that I had mentioned about using the products either independently or together, one of the nice integration points that we have with the CICS PA offering and the XE for CICS is that the OmegaMon product provides some additional performance records. And in what we refer to as SMF 112 records, what we're able to do is in the CICS PA product, we're able to use those and also add those into the other performance records we're able to track and report on them. So what happens by having the two products being used in combination, we're able to get additional business value out of the types of records that the OmegaMon tool provides. And so what we're showing here is just a CICS PA report that is actually getting the records that the OmegaMon product generates. So moving on to the next chart, one of the items that is in the reference documentation, and there is a link to this white paper, and I've just highlighted some of the key comments that, that we've seen from users. That white paper was where a analyst actually went out and interviewed about 18 CICS tools customers and just asked them, what are you seeing in terms of the benefits of the tools? And so here are some of the key comments that are being reported back for the performance analyzer tool. You know, they're seeing this ability to save the amount of time it takes them to isolate and identify problems. And then, more importantly, it's being able to use those to get to the right to the root cause of the issue. And as you see on here, this is not the interface being used here is the CICS Explorer, and that is a no-charge Eclipse interface that is available for users who are running on CICS version 4. They're able to download that interface, and then we have plugins in the tools, such in this case a PA plugin, that allows you to use a graphical interface to be able to get to this information. So what we're able to do is not only provide reports, whether it's a 3270 interface, we're also able to extend those to be able to view those and traverse those in a very highly end-user friendly environment. The next chart just summarizes some of the key benefits of the tool. The CICS Performance Analyzer is very comprehensive in terms of the reporting. We use it ourselves within IBM when customers call our support center and ask for help with performance problems. So we end up using the tool ourselves to help customers resolve performance issues because it provides that deep dive information. It does provide all kinds of reporting. Whether it's the reports we provide as standard reports or reports you want to customize, you have the ability to do that. It does support the CICS Explorer, as I mentioned, with the plugin. And one real nice feature of it is it has a historical database. So you're able to save the important data so that if you want to track what happens today versus what happened Monday of last week, what happened to a Monday a month ago or a year ago, you'll be able to do those kind of comparisons and see over time what kind of changes have been occurring on the performance side. And our what we've seen with this is it really helps with performance planning, capacity planning, trying to determine what is the right capacity to run the workload. And we do have ability to offer statistics and alerts, as I demonstrated in the scenario, and we do offer support for the latest versions of CICS, and including the latest 4.2 that's in the marketplace today. The next product on here is what we refer to as our Application Performance Analyzer, And what we have with this product is the ability to take a deeper dive within the applications at source code level. So if you envision the set of tools that we're going through for you today, I've talked of a performance analyzer tool that's doing a very deep dive within the CICS programs that are running, transactions that are running, and being able to store that data for historical purposes. What is very unique about this product, not only does it support CICS, but it supports DB2, IMS, the compilers, and what it does is it gives you an ability to get down to source code analysis. And why this is so important is that if we can uncover a performance problem in the development cycle before it ever gets to system test or production, they, you know, according to the analyst studies and that are in the marketplace, there's a cost savings between 5 to 1 or 10 to 1, somewhere in that range of financial benefit by uncovering these problems early. So what we have is a tool that could actually be used by the developer upfront while they're coding or modifying their programs to try to uncover this, so that in the example that I gave, we don't need that call going into the help desk where a production user is actually calling in and reporting an issue. So we have tools and technology that allows us to get down to that source code analysis as required as well. And here's a chart very similar to what I gave on the PA. You can see the different subsystems that are supported, DB2, IMS, MQ. We even support USS and our WASP platform. And again, what this allows to do is it is a non-intrusive type of solution that gives real-time analysis and being able to do source code analysis as well. And this is one of our tools, part of our problem determination tools that can also be used, the information provided with our other problem determination tools such as Fault Analyzer and Debug Tool, which are other technologies that a programmer would like to have or may need to have in order to be able to do why did a fault occur, and then if I'm debugging, actually have a tool to help traverse the program and the logic in that program to help resolve a performance issue that one of these other tools may have pinpointed. The next chart just gets through for APA all the different kinds of reports that it can produce, and you can see the breadth it has in terms of the different types of reporting, the subsystems it supports, and the types of reports that it can be produced, whether it's on CPU, whether it's on DASD, or what it can produce for a CICS runtime environment, which has been really the focus of today's session. So at this point, I'm going to turn it over, Mike, to you.
Thank you, Ted. One of the things that is mentioned here as a solution is the idea of the interaction of from a subject matter expert and the KIC support teams of being able to integrate smoothly the tools as Ted was talking about. So from the Megamon XE who KIX product, we provide that real time to minutes to whatever storage you want to support for it, but the real time analysis of what's actually happening now on your systems. Besides that, it's an important capability to actually capture that data and perhaps provide it to APA or other performance analyzers, not only as the SMF records, but in the post-historical analysis of what's going on. So a lot of with the Megamon products, you can actually have a threshold set off a trace. In fact, you can look at the trace while it's running. You can stop the trace and basically provide this information that you think of a performance threshold or an anomaly that it's uncharacteristic within the business, and capture that data for a post-analysis with the performance analyzers going forward. So it's an important thing to have the tools integrated in the fact that there's a different IT personas that support CICS within the business. And not all personas have to see the same information or use the same user interfaces, but they're always looking for the same version of the truth to provide the analysis of what needs to be fixed versus looking at it from a different set of tools that are characteristically collecting different pieces of information and then making the debate of, you know, which is really the empirical data that we need to be working with. So besides being able to capture data and view it from the Megamon XE, there are plugins that we've delivered available. So from our portal server of a workspace you see here, We can actually provide that information and push it over to Kix Explorer to actually view that information if indeed the Kix Explorer is your UI of choice. So what we've done now is that the in February 7th, we announced version 5.1 of CICS for OmegaMon. It'll be generally available on March 9th this year. A lot of work spent into time and effort to actually take a product that was designed and we acquired from Candle and modernize it and simplify its interactions and make it a tool that basically developed in the 70s and now reformulate how it's used and interacted with subject matter experts to move it for the next 10, 15 years. So what we've done is we actually went out and interviewed all the users. Over 200 customers were interviewed. We used to develop the code in a way that basically we would write a whole bunch of customer requirements, and then we'd spend 16 months working on them and then deliver it as a version. We've moved to a completely agile process for our development and now have what we would call early access programs, where we actually work with the subject matter experts using our tools for them to help us design the tools they need to work with to solve today's problems. So we meet monthly. It's like an hour call. It's open to anybody who wants to come to the website and sign a little NDA. But it's a way to actually provide input to development on what is needed for the next generation of CICS monitoring tools. For example, in 1970 and 80, Kix terminals were important. Well, is that a metric that you need to see every day today? And generally speaking, it's not. Web services are much more important. So it's a way for us to work with the customers to be very attuned to how you need to solve problems. So we worked on these things called problem-solving scenarios with the customers, our subject matter experts. You know, what problems are you trying to solve? CSA, and some of them come up basically for transactions. We had a way of everybody can do response time monitoring, but we look at it a different way now to be much more proactive. We have a capability called service level analysis, and basically you can in the service level analysis component, define your transaction IDs and basically put a characteristic about, you know, what is the appropriate SLA that or response times that should be associated with these transactions. And we have customers that have over 20 different thousand transaction IDs. So the idea was if I can have the tool monitor these transactions, and against their service levels, let's do that versus just working on the response time monitoring portion of that and have the tool do that for us. So we also made that zip enabled. So when you're looking at using SLA as a function and monitoring these transactions based upon SLAs, all that runs in a specialty processor, and we have customers that have generated over a 73% buyback for utilization just using this function to do the response time monitoring. We also created a command. Usually, one of the nice things about working with the customers is they can tell you their problems. So in the 5.1 release, one of the things that came out of the early access programs was a user calls the help desk and says, "My session's hung." And the customer we were working with says it sometimes takes up to 2 hours to figure out where this session is blocked or hung and to free up this user. It's a large customer, lots of Plexes, lots of LPARs. And so their strategy was they would, you know, let's go get 140,000 rows of data and start filtering and sorting. And that basically drives the CPU usage up to do that. So working with them, we figured out a way to do a find command. So most end users will understand what their user ID is. So, for example, M. Goodman, I could say, hey, my user ID is M. Goodman. They could say, find M. Goodman. Query goes back, brings back, hey, these are everywhere that M. Goodman is connected within the Plex or the Plexus. So basically it took a 90-minute job for them. It's down to less than 2 minutes for them to free up that user. So an innovative way to approach these problem-solving scenarios. We kind of organize the information from a plex to a region to a resource as we work down. So a way to take what you would say is data that used to be thrown on a screen and now related as information or information flows that I have high-level KPIs, key performance indicators, associated with at a plex level. And then as I tear down, give me the related KPIs within the region and then within the resource itself. So a much easier way to deal with problems and problem-solving scenarios moving forward. So here's a basic enhanced 3270 UI screen from a service level analysis. It's prioritized by response times. You can sort up and down. The little arrows, the white highlighted arrow there on the screen says you can move to the right. The screens are customizable. In fact, when we look at the new enhanced 3270 UI from our announcements, you can see ZOS, KIX, you'll be able to see messaging, IMS, DB2, all from the same screens. So a way to integrate the separate silos that used to be Megamon and beginning with the 510 deliveries, moving to this new interface to move forward. Term bottleneck analysis, these are things that are important from your peers, your subject matter experts that worked with us on what do you need within the tool, how do you need to view the information. Bottleneck analysis, a graphical view, of course they're color-coded for yellow and red, and basically terrible for what you need to do. They're also controlled underneath what we call a SAF interface, so based upon your scope and control, what you can access, what you can do, and what you can change and analyze and fix problems quickly to do that is all under that type of controls moving forward. SLA one service class details by the bottlenecks, by the regions, and obviously there's columns here. When you look at the columns, there's actually up to 256 columns that can move to the right. And if you look at the panels, which are the horizontal bars, there's actually 15 of those that can be deployed within this green screen real estate. It supports any emulator as long as you have APL. And it's tailorable from a toolkit we'll provide that basically lets you customize based upon your scope and view of the job. When you look at, for example, the regions with the same unit of work from an AOR, you can simply type in over the unit of work or the AOR to navigate between the regions. Just type in a different region, you go back and forth. The other idea says if I get to a transaction view and I'm looking at a transaction detail from CICS, what would the mirrored transaction look like from messaging? Or what would the mirrored transaction look like from DB2? And basically, when the monitors are all on 5.1 release, those type of views will be very easy to generate and look at. So from a unit of work perspective, you have the summary, shows the complete AOR, TOR, navigate to DE01 or DE02 by just changing the number and move back and forth. So a very intuitive way to interact with the screens and move forward. For doing a KIX analysis. Again, from a plex, go to a region to a resource to do that type of work and do that analysis. A region overview, a visual at a glance, and some of the details there. The details of what is deployed for the region are things that the subject matter experts asked us to make sure they can view and work with and do the problem analysis. The idea is to improve the mean time to repair by reducing the amount of enter keys or panels you need to work with, to deal with, and again, to move through the data and make it information and be able to solve problems quickly. A summary of the KIXplex overviews, you can sort on these columns, if up and down for which one is more important, you can move them left and right. We'll have a steady state on the left, so you have a GPS location, basically, that says if I move columns to the right, that it's really associated with column number one or column number two. Columns you can freeze. And again, from a region overview, sort on CPU utilization, transaction rates, max tasks. And if there are other items that you needed to do that, you could customize the screen to provide that information. When you look at the direction and strategy for the Megamon portfolio family, on the top is really a statement of history that we developed this product, or Candle developed this product, we acquired it, and we've moved from a classic, which is a 3270 that's directly connected to these monitors, CUA or Megamon 2, it would kind of works with Classic to get the monitors and basically an XE or new agents to provide the portal view. And basic built up over time, our issue now is how do we move forward and change the architecture to provide what I would call get rid of the silos, provide an interactive consistent UI, reduce the training, reduce the infrastructure. And as you see in the bottom picture is basically the 510 architecture, where we have information being collected once, being presented to us, and basically a level of separation between the data being collected and the visuals it's portrayed on. So when we look at it, on the top picture, a classic screen, as soon as I get the metric, it's displayed on the green screen. There's no chance to intercept that metric. On a bottom screen, we can collect and basically look at the TEMS as a patch panel that says I bring all these metrics to a patch panel, and then I can display them anywhere. And given the, you know, the time and criteria for subject matter experts, if you're going to do it on a green screen, you're going to do it in sub-second response time. So from the TOM point of view, or to the Omegamon manager, we are lifting the applications one at a time and putting them on this new address space, first with KIX and then ZOS, and followed by the others. So they would all have the same integrated view, same look, touch, and feel on the enhanced 3270 UI. In fact, from the patch panel point of view, and using technologies such as OSLC, we'd be able to provide these metrics to any place in the enterprise, whether it's KIX Explorer, MQ Explorer, ZOS Management Facility. It's a matter of do they support the standards, and is there a business need for having that performance criteria or metric or visual on the UI that best represents that IT persona. So a way to generate what is being collected and the performance of CICS, whether it's CICS or KIX-TG, for example, and being able to provide to the IT resources, the people responsible for the performance end-to-end of these environments, the same version of the truth. So the debate is not about, you know, what each separate tool is talking about, but the debate is about the problem. And the characteristics of the IBM solution says that the metric is might be viewed different places, but it's the same piece of information, which it allows us to get rid of the mean time to repair and the bridge calls and the tiger teams and reduce that work effort because you're all looking at the same version of the truth. And a view of that now, we're going to talk about, move to a demonstration of what we've been talking about here for the first half of this presentation.
What I'd like to do is thank Joe and Doug for the demonstrating the products and the technology. What we'd like to do now is just talk about some of the next steps. And in the demonstration, there was some discussion of this ThreadSafe analysis. And we have found working with customers that the amount of CPU savings can be very significant by implementing a ThreadSafe type of project. And we continue to expand based upon the enhancements in the runtimes and the databases and ability to exploit and receive even more CPU savings. And in the latest implementation of 4.2 and the IMS version 11 that is available, we've expanded the ThreadSafe capabilities to a greater degree in those runtimes. So in prior releases, we had a very compelling and strong justification, capability of bringing the tools to help with this ThreadSafe analysis with both CICS and DB2. We've now, with 4.2 and IMS version 11, we've expanded that now to IMS data users with CICS as well. And again, the reference material that's available in the backup will give you some of the types of performance savings we've seen that can be very significant by implementing ThreadSafe in your environment. If we look at the next chart in here, I'd like to basically summarize this session that we have for you today, and that started out with just a scenario, an example of, you know, in a business environment where customers trying to grow, they're trying to be able to reach more users, they're trying to maintain response time, typical kinds of pressures that a business puts on IT. And then we talked about the different challenges that IT has in terms of being able to do more with less, being able to enhance the set of technology they have today to support the environment, not only are they that they have currently, but also how do they expand into these business demands in growth on top of that. So what we have here is a set of technology from the Tivoli brand, from CICS tools and the PD tools, that can help you become much more effective in performance analysis, tuning, tweaking, capacity planning with CICS. And our view on this is that we have a set of technology, whether you're an operator, a systems programmer, a developer, we have technology that we believe you can use independently or together to help address these different types of performance issues or performance management that you're trying to have in your environment. And so the tools provide that capability. And then we also have the ability to use the CICS Explorer front end. As I mentioned earlier, it's a Eclipse front end you can download and be able to leverage the plugins to be able to use a very new type of interface to traverse and get access to these different performance information. And again, decide whether you want to use one or two of the tools together and use the common interface to traverse between them. And as I mentioned, the latest levels of both IMS and the runtime have the capabilities underneath the covers of those products to enable some new capabilities in your environment to optimize performance. So what is in the rest of the deck is that you will have the different reference information. I'll just quickly highlight some of the things you'll find. You'll find in their analyst papers, you'll find links to key websites. You'll also find we have a new requirement system for our tools so that actually you customers directly can input enhancement requests for products. And this, again, what we're trying to do is improve our agility and be able to be responsive in how we enhance our technology by having customers directly feed and being able to vote. If they see another requirement out there, they are able to vote on it and be able to let us know what of the different enhancements that are being asked, which ones are important for your environment. And also in there, you'll see the Explorer technology and the different plugins that are available and the different technologies that can participate. So at this point, what I'd like to do is turn it over to the operator for a question and answer period.
Thank you, speakers. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the presentation portion of today's webcast. Before we move on to the question and answer portion of this webcast, we would like to make you aware of additional webcasts that may be of interest to you. Please visit our website at ibm.com/software/systemz/events/calendar to register for upcoming webcasts or to replay this webcast or previously broadcast webcasts. If you will take a moment to provide us with your feedback by answering the questions now appearing in the slide window, it would be greatly appreciated. And now we'll move on to the question and answer session. If you haven't submitted your questions, please do so now. You may submit questions by entering them in the white text box located in the lower left-hand corner. Simply enter your question and click Submit Question. Please note that we'll cover as many questions as time allows. And if you're viewing this webcast in replay mode, please submit your questions by entering them in the white text box located in the lower left-hand corner. Simply enter your question and click Submit Question, and they will be answered in the next 48 hours. At this time, I'd like to turn the program back over to our speakers for the question and answer session.
Well, at this point, we're going to open up to the questions that were asked online. You still have an opportunity to ask questions. This is Ted Caffarelli. What I'd like to do is there were several questions that we had answered during the session, but I'd like to have the folks on the call to answer the questions for all of us. The one question that we had received had to do with, are there services available for IBM in either helping the installation of these tools or actual usage of the tools? And in the set of charts that are available in the reference material, there is a chart that provides the different type of lab services that are available for the product. So there is assistance available if you're looking for whether it's installation help or usage, product usage of the products. So what I'd like to do, Joe, is I know a couple questions came in regarding positioning and some questions on the Explorer. So I'll pass it over to you first if you would answer. First of all, just go back what the question was and then what the answer that we had provided.
I will, Ted. Thank you. The first question was from Al. This question is 68 question. The KIX Explorer, does it require CPSM to be installed and active? If yes, and if given the environment does not have CPSM, then what kind of interface is left for the user of KIXPA? Very good question, Al. I'll break it down into two parts. The KIX Explorer does require the CPSM WUI interface for version 3 and 4. So with version 4, you're also able to use the CMCI connection, which is not part of the WUI. The KIXPA is a plugin. It's plugged into the Eclipse base that is provided with the KIX Explorer. So to answer your question entirely, no, you do not have to have the Explorer connected. You only need the Eclipse base for PA to have a plugin. PA only accesses DBT data that's been loaded. So hopefully this has answered your question. Both are no charge items. So if you do not have CPSM or any connection for the KIX Explorer, you still have to download the Explorer, then add the PA plugin and connect the PA plugin. Okay. The next question was from Nick. His question is the real-time display or historical data on one of the slides where it was showing a MegaMond SE and KIX PA? Obviously, I don't have the slide to review to go over, but KIX PA is only historical SMF data. MegaMond does have a real-time display. You can combine a MegaMond SMF data with KIX PA's data, being CICS SMF, as well as other subsystems. We actually support SMF 110 from KIX. DB2 accounting records are 101, WebSphere and Q accounting records, SMF 116. Zero system logger records, SMF 88, as well as the MegaMond XC 112 data. So PA is only historical. So if you go back to the slide, any reference to PA is historical data and can include MegaMond XC, but I'm sure the display was MegaMond XC real time. All right. Looks like that's, let me refresh real quick to make sure I haven't missed any current questions.
Joe, I think there's a couple more that you could answer. What I'm going to do, though, while you scan and look those over, Doug, if I know one came in on APA, so if you would answer that question, that'll give a chance for Joe to read through the two additional questions that came in.
Very good. Thank you, Ted. Doug, go ahead and take over.
All right. Good. Thanks. We had another question from Al, and Al is asking an installation question about an application performance analyzer. In today's separation of responsibility for such a product, which crosses many support boundaries, INS, DB2, CICS, DOS, et cetera, then which group would be the installer of such a tool? And, you know what? What we've seen that tends to work the best is if the DOS systems programming group takes the primary responsibility for the installation, that seems to work the best, probably to throw it a meaningless number, 70 or 80% of the installation activities are done by that group. And of course, they may need some of the other systems programming groups to do individual tasks, but we find it as best if it's owned by the DOS group. All right.
Thank you very much, Doug. Joe, did you get a chance to take a look at those two questions came in? Look like they came from the same customer.
I do not see any more questions other than those two. Let me refresh one more time. I do have a chat item.
One question, Joe, what I can do is I can read it. This question comes from Sam, and his question was, what is the best time to tune, 24 hours or during perceived peak time?
It depends on whatever you're tuning. If you're tuning for, trends and capacity, it would be a 24-hour. If you're tuning spikes, obviously it would be during a peak time.
And that is one nice advantage of the different tools, is that being able to have a historical database, to be able to do that longer period of time of tracking the data, and being able to do the comparisons, say, from today versus last week or a month ago versus the online real-time type of tools where you're more specifically trying to isolate a performance issue maybe during a peak period where you're really trying to understand what's going on during real time.
Correct. And for either analysis, you would be able to use KICS PA reporting for that.
So another question from Sam. It says on here, in terms of a starting point, what percentage of CPU should be addressed? I'm not sure I can understand exactly what that means in terms of what percent of CPU should be addressed. I don't know if they're looking for some indication of CPU percentages they ought to be looking at.
Right. Well, you know, obviously, you don't want to wait until it hurts. You know, you'd want to be proactive. You'd want to see some trend where you're maxing out your box and be proactive and do the tuning before you get maxed. You know, you'd much rather address any issues today that may be out of control tomorrow. I cannot give you other than, you know, watching the trend and you know, if you've maxed out, it's almost too late at that point, but not impossible.
And, Sam, if there's additional follow-up you need from us, don't hesitate. We were on the cover chart as well. You have our email address. But at the same time, what I've seen is that I run into some customers that run their processors very hard. They're, you know, running 90, 95% during critical periods of time. There's not a lot of spare capacity. And so they favor, you know, what regions are important to them. I'm trying to understand your question in terms of what that CPU percent you're looking for. I don't think there's one answer that fits all the situations. We'd have to understand a little better what you're trying to accomplish. But again, whether the processor is running full out at 100% or whether it's running at something less, the tools, all three of the tools that were discussed here today, whether it's APA or the PA tool or the OmegaMon tool, all three of them can be used in that environment to help you uncover potential bottlenecks or areas of improvement that you could receive by tuning those applications or changing some of the resource definitions. I'm just checking now to see if we got any more questions, and I think that was the last set of questions. I'm not seeing any more questions at this point, so I'll just wait 10 more seconds in case anyone else has a question. If not, we can close today's webcast down. At this point, I'd like to close out the call. Again, you have our email addresses in case you are needing, you come up with a question after this, but all of us appreciate you attending this call, listening to the IBM solutions that we have in the areas of optimizing CICS performance. So at this point, I'd like to close this webcast. So thank you.